Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. So good to see you folks here today. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation that you will find at the top of your bulletin. I don't think I need to ask anybody what today is, but what is it? Super Bowl Sunday, right? Main Street will be celebrating the Super Bowl in two different but very important ways. The first is, as soon as you leave the church, you will see our young people with big soup pots, because we are asking that you contribute change in your pocket or a check. And if you want to know all that's involved, we have a wonderful article in the bulletin, in the insert, to read about Super Bowl Sunday and where these funds go. So take a few minutes when you don't have to pay attention to something else to read it and see how important it is, and make your contribution as you leave the church. The second thing is, and it's mentioned in the bulletin, and it was also in our newsletter, about the football game this afternoon. We are very fortunate to have folks who enjoy sharing their expertise. They enjoy being with each other. Please come and have fun with the Super Bowl at Main Street. Barbecue and chicken will be provided. We ask only that you bring some side dishes and some desserts. And if you notice that the gathering begins about 4:30, got to get in the right frame of mind. And the food will be served at 5:15. So come and enjoy the Super Bowl. It's a big family gathering and a lot of fun. Another event for the church will be Wednesday. It's not too late to join in with the two studies that we have. That's written up in your bulletin, too. That's at the bottom, down there. It's not too late to participate. Read about the studies. You can follow the book on Fearless, or you can follow the Revelation of John, which is a very interesting combination of discussion and audiovisual support. You might also be interested in knowing that it's a very good menu. Beef stew over rice with salad and dessert. Good meal at a very reasonable price. So come and learn something and enjoy visiting with the Main Street family. Now, I ask that you center your minds and hearts as we continue our worship service.
Thank you. for the call to worship if you're able. Holy, holy, holy is the God of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory. Our hearts are filled with thanks, God. We bring before you our songs of praise. All rulers of the people are called to praise God. All people of the earth are subject to God's rule. The steadfast love of God surrounds us here. We have come to hear and understand. Let the thresholds shake with the power of God's voice. Let all the people tremble before God's glory. God's purpose endures and will be fulfilled. Our lives can be channels for God's grace.
Please be seated, and I invite you to join me in the invocation. O God, whose presence fills this place of gathering, we bow before your majesty in awe and wonder. When we consider the vast universe of your dominion, we are humbled by your attention to us. Your steadfast love and faithfulness amaze us. Your care for the lowly gives us a sense of our own dignity and worth. Send your gospel to teach us, to save us from ourselves, to lead us into truth. Show us the task we can accomplish for you, and grant us the courage to reach out in your name to do them. Amen.
The epistle reading for today comes from the 15th chapter and the first 11 verses of Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. In this passage, Paul reminds the church of that century and the church of this century of the central theme of the gospel: God's grace, as shown through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, has the power to transform lives. Today, I will be reading this lesson from The Message. Listen now for God's word to us. Friends, let me go over the message with you one final time. This message that I proclaimed and that you made your own. This message on which you took your stand and by which your life has been saved. I'm assuming now that your belief was the real thing and not a passing fancy, that you're in this for good and holding fast. The first thing I did was place before you what was placed so emphatically before me, that the Messiah died for our sins exactly as the Scripture tells it, that he was buried, that he was raised from death on the third day, again exactly as Scripture says, that he presented himself alive to Peter, then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers all at the same time, most of them still around, although a few have since died. That he then spent time with James and the rest of those he commissioned to represent him, and that he finally presented himself alive to me. It was fitting that I bring up the rear. I don't deserve to be included in that inner circle, as you well know, having spent all of those early years trying my best to stamp God's church right out of existence. But because God was so gracious, so very generous, here I am. And I am not about to let his grace go to waste. Haven't I worked hard trying to do more than any of the others? Even then, my work didn't amount to all that much. It was God giving me the work to do, God giving me the energy to do it. So whether you heard it from me or from those others, it's all the same. We spoke God's truth, and you entrusted your lives. This is the word of the Lord.
Talk about us.
As we approach God in prayer, I want to lift up several concerns. Jill Warner lost her father this past week. Please be in prayer for that family. Ray Woodward is still in the hospital. Frank Rice is back in Afghanistan. Mark Calfee in Iraq. Betty Stockman recovering from surgery at home. And Peggy Ackerman will have more back surgery this coming week. Jay Pendergrass is at home briefly, but will have more treatments in the near future. Other concerns I encourage you to lift up during our silent time of prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we do thank you for this beautiful day with the sunshine out and the lack of rain. Lord, we have prayed for rain for so long, and we are happy to have days without it. We are happy to see signs of spring just around the corner and rejoice that the seasons come, the seasons go. And we are approaching a season of growth. Lord, we do pray for growth in our spiritual life as well. We gaze on the beautiful stained glass above my head of Jesus at age 12 in the temple, and we consider the young among us and those who are just understanding your will for our lives. And Lord, we see also that the teachers, some resisted Jesus' learning at a young age, and we wonder if we, who are older, sometimes get stuck in our ways and resist the growth that you would have for us, the growth that you urge in us, growth in love, growth in forgiveness, growth in grace. As you have given these things to us, Lord, empower us by your Spirit to give them to others. And now, Lord, we do pray for the people of Haiti. We pray the comfort of your Spirit. We pray the comfort of real assistance through your people and through other agencies and through the church. Their lives have been wrecked and shattered. We pray also for those sitting on the pews beside us who have shattered lives in more quiet ways that are not obvious and unseen. We pray also for them, the healing of their Holy Spirit, and where we can, a healing touch. Lord, we do pray for this church and its mission as we continue to reach out and make disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. We do pray for the leaders of the nations of the world that they be more open to the influence of your Holy Spirit. And we now do pray our private prayers for those who are grieving, for those who seek guidance, for those who seek new employment and have financial worries, for those who have fears and doubts. Lord, we lift up these situations, we lift up these names in silence in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
And we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Are you awake? Good morning. Oh, that's a little bit better. Today, our scripture comes from the book of Luke, and it talks about when Jesus called his disciples. But I'm going to back up for a minute. How many of you have ever played the card game Go Fish? Have a lot of you. I remember when my boys were little, we used to love to play Go Fish. And it was a lot of fun. And you have to try to get matches, right? Well, the scripture today talks about fishing for something besides fish. One day, Jesus was preaching to the people on the shore by the water. And the crowd kept getting closer and closer to him. And so Simon Peter was there, and he asked Peter if he could get in his boat and asked Peter to push the boat away from the shore a little bit so the people wouldn't be all crowding around him. And he did, and he continued to preach. And then Jesus told Peter, James, and John to take the boats out to the deep water. And they said, but we've already been there, and we caught no fish today. And if they didn't catch any fish, then they didn't have anything to sell, and they didn't have any money to take home or food to take home to their families. So it had been a very bad day for them. Well, Jesus said, but go out into the deep water. And they did. They trusted Jesus. They put the nets over the side of the boat, and almost immediately those nets were filled with fish, so that when they pulled those nets back up into the boat almost sank. And they had lots and lots of fish. And Jesus said, now I want you to go and be fishers of men. He wanted them to go and fish for people. Do you know how to do that?
No.
It's... You haven't ever been fishing before? I think some of you have fished before. Well, to be fishers of men, he taught the disciples how to do that. And then by their example, we are to do that. We're to tell your friends about Jesus. We're to act the way that Jesus asked us to, so that people will know the love of God. And that might be sharing your crayons, sharing your toys, being nice to someone, saying something polite, being nice to someone who maybe is not being somebody else is teasing. So there are all kinds of things that you can go out and be fishers of men. And I have everybody a fish, and I want you to take it home. If you have a bulletin board or a nightstand, Julia, would you help pass those out? Take one and pass it around. You can take one and pass it around. And I want you to remember to be fishers of men. When you go to school and when you go to nursery school or preschool or elementary school, that you are to be fishers of men. You're to tell your friends about Jesus and God's love. Okay, can we say a prayer? Can you bow your heads, please? Dear God, help us to be fishers of men. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 5th chapter, the first 11 verses. Hear now God's word. While the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to pull out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish, and as their nets were breaking, they beckoned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of fish which had been taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I want to start with an illustration that sort of plays off of the disciples immediately getting up and leaving. Now, in some other denominations, if a preacher gets a call, he may be there 1 week and, you know, call to another church, usually a larger church. He may leave the pulpit and go to another church. Well, in one particular church where there wasn't a whole lot of love between the congregation and the pastor, he said from the pulpit, "I have received a call from Jesus to another congregation." At which point the choir stood up and sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." That's not me. I also want to use this opportunity to tell the very best fish story ever. Now, it is a 5-second delay story, and there is a good gospel message in a moment, but first, this story. It's a fish story. I call it a 5-second delay because it'll be 5 seconds after the end of it before you either get it or don't, but I'm going to move on. A man was stopped by a game warden in a state park, and he had 2 buckets of fish while he was leaving the lake, and the game warden said, "Do you have a license to catch those fish?" And the man replied to the game warden, "I don't need a license. These are my pet fish." And the warden said, "Pet fish?" He said, "Yes, sir. Every night I take these fish down to the lake, and I let them swim around for a while, and then I whistle, and they come and jump back into their buckets, and I take them home." The warden said, "That's a bunch of hooey. Fish can't do that." The man looked at the game warden for a moment, and he said, "Here, I'll show you." The warden said, "Okay, I've got to see this." So the man went down to the lake, and he poured the fish back into the lake. And after a few minutes, the game warden turned to the man and said, "Well?" And the guy said, "Well, what?" He said, "Well, when are you going to call them back?" And he said, "Call who back?" The game warden said, "The fish." The man asked, "What fish?" Okay. Now, switching gears into the sermon. There's really no tie-in other than fish. Switching gears, Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 5, and this is more serious. "We toiled all night and have taken nothing." I went with the RSV on this to read today because I like that better. "We toiled all night, we worked all night, and have taken nothing." Now, that verse doesn't need any context, and it doesn't matter whether you've been fishing. You can feel that even if you've never fished a day in your life. "Toiled all night and have taken nothing." Parents, children, finances, marriages, careers, all sorts of situations. Sometimes even preachers say, "Lord, I've toiled all night and have taken nothing." The disciples had washed out their nets. And then Jesus borrowed one of their boats. He rowed out from shore and he used the surface of the water as a natural megaphone to amplify his voice as he preached and taught to the crowd. And so after fishing all night and closing up shop and then sitting through a sermon, essentially, Jesus turned to Simon Peter and said, I want you to go out again, this time into deeper water, further from shore. And Peter said, Lord, we worked all night. We worked our fingers to the bone and look what we got. Bony fingers. Nothing else. Jesus, paraphrase, said to Peter, I know what you did, but now I want you to try it under my direction. But the story doesn't end there, as you well know. Even if the trust was tiny and the skepticism sky high, Peter said, okay, if you say so, Lord, we'll put out again deeper. If you say so. Now, there could be many situations or relationships that have been broken that you think will remain broken the rest of your life, things that you're just plain tired of trying again about. Well, so was Peter. And that's one of the lessons from this scripture. Lord, we fished all night. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. But at God's direction, would you try with trust a little deeper? A little deeper into forgiveness, a little deeper into compassion and generosity, a little deeper into love and prayer, even for the enemies you have. A little deeper into seeking God's will instead of your next wandering desire. The disciples tried a little deeper. They did try, and they caught an insane number of fish. Peter knew that this was not normal. He knew that he was in the presence of more than just a man. He got on his knees and he said to Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And at that moment, you figure out this story is not about fish at all. Because if it were, Peter would have said, oh boy, we're rich. The Peter and Jesus fish market. We're going to make a mint, my friend. But that's not what he said. Peter knew it was not about fish. It was God acting in an extraordinary way to make himself known. Peter knew, and he knew full well, that God was acting in this man, Jesus. And so he fell on his knees at the action of God through Jesus and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Another lesson from this text, never worry that you are too sinful to be useful to God. What other kind of people can God use? Except sinners. God uses and changes sinners. God can use you, can use me. Do not ever think I have failed and it's over, because God will say when it's over. Certainly on your own you can fail, in your own direction, under your own power, under your own strength and cleverness you can and have failed. So have I. But you've not really failed until you try with trust in God and try to discern God's direction. And very often, that's a little further from shore and in the deeper water, out in the deep end. We pray for God's will to be done every time we pray. We prayed already today twice, the Lord's Prayer in both services. And when we pray that prayer, we recognize that God's will is different from ours, that God's goals of God's kingdom are different from ours. And the direction that God needs us to go in and the number of times God needs us to try are not dependent upon our schedule and our desires. Very often God would have us try one more time. One more time. This time less fearful and more trusting, seeking God's direction instead of our own. Now remember all the times that Peter got it and then lost it, or maybe he almost got it and didn't quite understand what was going on with Jesus. He would promise loyalty and then he wasn't. Peter is a lot like us. And I think we're supposed to understand at least one thing from this passage. God can and does use sinful, imperfect people to do his will and to build his kingdom and to make disciples. So get to it. Peter. Think of the stories about Peter. He was the first to say, Jesus, you are the Messiah. And then when Jesus explained that the Messiah must suffer and die, Peter said, oh, no, you're wrong, Jesus. That can't be true. And that's when Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, tempter. The Messiah must suffer and die. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus glowed brighter than the sun and Moses and Elijah appeared there momentarily, Peter misunderstood the appearance as something more permanent, and he offered to build them some little shacks to stay in and just talk on the top of the mountain. And the Gospels, when you read them carefully, they almost apologize for Peter. They say he wasn't thinking clearly. He didn't know what he was saying. Peter is the one who saw Jesus walking on the water, and he said, "Hey, Jesus, I want to do that." And Peter begins to do it. Then he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and you know what happens. He begins to sink and almost drown. In the upper room, it is Peter who first refuses to allow Jesus to wash his feet. And then he comes to understand that, yes, Jesus is a servant. He came to serve us. Jesus asked Peter to stay awake and pray with him the night that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know what happened? Peter fell asleep. Time after time, Jesus preached against violence and eye for an eye and retaliation, but when they came to arrest Jesus, who pulled out a sword and wounded a guard? It was Peter. And then after promising to be loyal to Jesus unto death, that very night, Peter three times denied even knowing who Jesus was. Now that's Peter. But there's more than one Peter story in the book of Acts. After the cross and after the resurrection, when the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost and the crowds did not understand what was going on, it was Peter who stood up and preached the sermon explaining it all. God can use sinful, sometimes fearful, sometimes wrong-headed, sometimes just plain wrong people to do great things. By himself, Peter messed up over and over, but over time we see that Peter trusted and tried, and he gave himself up to God's will, and he sought power from God's Spirit instead of his own might. Those times, Peter did great things. Or maybe I should say that God did great things through Peter. So are your excuses, or mistakes, or sins any greater than Peter's? And is God still able, and are there still disciples to be made, and worn out, broken people looking for meaning and comfort? Yes. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. We are the body of Christ. Has no feet but our feet to lead others on the way. Christ has no tongue but our tongues to tell them how he died. Christ has no help but our help to bring them to his side. Fishers of people, Christ has only us. Inspired by the Spirit, still imperfect but useful, because God can use us when we make ourselves available through trust, through overcoming our fears and doubts and going out just a little bit deeper. One final illustration I'd like to close with. One of the few creatures on earth, just a fun biological fact, one of the few creatures on earth who can outjump any NBA player is the impala. It's an African deer with sort of a supercharged set of legs. It has a vertical leap of over 10 feet. It can broad jump over 30 feet. And you would think that the zoos of the world would have a hard time containing these animals, but that's not so. It's easy. Because experts have discovered that the impala will not jump unless it can see where it's going to land. And so they can build a wall about 6 feet high, and it can't see the other side of the wall. And even though it could clear it by 4 feet if it wanted to, it doesn't want to, because it has to see where it's going to land. A lot of Christians, a lot of us have the impala problem. We won't take a leap of faith unless we have all the answers in advance about where we're going to land. But God is looking for folks like Peter who are bold, not perfect, but bold believers, who even in the face of the unknown will leap when the Spirit says leap, fly when the Spirit says fly, launch when the Spirit says launch, off into the deep end, trusting God for the landing. Casting out one more time, trusting God for the catch. Sowing the seed of love, mercy, and grace, trusting God for the harvest. There are disciples to be made through the likes of us. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to page 12 as we enter into a service of Holy Communion. During the passing of the peace, I'll invite the servers to come and be with me. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let us pass the peace. I'll ask the servers to come to be with me.
Larry, is the hand sanitizer up there? Hi. Barb, you going to help us?
Which am I going to do?
You're going to help me. I will do the bread, and you'll do the wine.
And I say, the blood of Christ.
The blood of Christ shed for you. It's not up here? Okay. Well, I invite you to turn to page 17 for the musical setting of the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins.
When morning gilds the skies, the heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus we repay. May Jesus Christ be praised. Arise, beloved, and go forth with that song in your heart and on your lips. Amen. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each, thy love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Arise and go in peace with the gift of God's redeeming grace. Amen. We look to Jesus as we kneel at his table. We come to claim his presence, a presence he has said will always be with us, even to the end of the age. Arise and go in peace and take with you the everlasting love of Christ. Amen. Dearly beloved, you have come to this table at the invitation of Jesus and as the guests of God. God feeds the spirit of each who accepts his gracious invitation. Arise and go in peace, taking with you his gifts of forgiveness, mercy, and love, gifts he empowers you to share with others. Amen. Jesus in his risen power stands among us in our worship. Take with you from this time of Holy Communion the power of his love for your continuing journey in the week ahead. Arise and go in peace. Amen. Let the grace of Christ our Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us all from above. Arise, friends, and go in peace, and God's peace go with you. Amen. As you have knelt at this holy table, you have abided in union with each other and with the Lord himself. In this time of Holy Communion, you have been privileged to possess a joy which the earth cannot know and cannot afford. Arise and go with that joy in your heart and in your mind. Amen. The Lord be with you as you take leave of his table. He has received you as his guest, given you his love and peace, and will journey with you along life's highways and byways. Arise and go in the strength of that knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. As you part from this table, let a hymn of praise and thanksgiving fill your heart. You have been blessed. Share that blessing with others in the week ahead as you live in the knowledge of Christ's love. Amen. We have confessed our sin and failure. We have sought God's mercy and forgiveness. We depart now in the confidence that God has heard our prayers and his Holy Spirit will lead us forward in new and holy living in the name of Christ. Amen.
Just a couple of announcements. I want to remind you, just as a part of our extended congregation, the Stephen ministers have already begun taking communion to our shut-ins, I believe to 14 different homes today. From the early service, they took some of the elements consecrated there. So they're out in our community now and will continue to be over this afternoon. We appreciate their ministry. And we have a Thanksgiving. Betty Staples is transferring today into our congregation. I don't remember if I asked you to stand with me at the end of the service and be greeted. Yes. So you go right ahead down there and you'll stand with me. And one more thing. Jason Ballantyne ran his first 5K. I thought I'd just tell you that. We're way past radio time. We can celebrate that as well. Now receive this blessing, this benediction. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the courage and the comfort and the presence even in this moment of God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.